This is Journey Church Podcast. Here at Journey, we believe in encountering God and embracing people. From wherever you're listening, we hope you are encouraged by this week's message.
Well, good morning, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving. It's exactly what I was expecting. The first service did the same thing. I don't know if you guys have already eaten the turkey. You're supposed to prepare it for today, okay? I ate mine yesterday, so I understand. Well, welcome. Glad you're here today. You know, when I look at a church this size, and I'm so thankful, Pastor Chris, you mentioned this morning, just prayer needs and prayer requests. You know, we are a praying church. This church loves to pray. We have a prayer team that prays multiple times during the week. Actually, this first service, I came up for prayer, and our prayer team just like surrounded me. Oh my goodness, there's the pastor. Let's get him. And it was wonderful. Because we all need prayer. And I don't know what it is you're going through. I don't know what struggles, what challenges you're faced with today. I want you to know this. There's a God who hears you, a God who sees you, who's already answering your prayers. And so whatever it is you're going through, maybe you've already given it to him in prayer and you're like, I'm not seeing the answers yet, God. Do not give up. So let me give you my prayer request today. My wife is not here. She's in the hospital. Hey, she's not feeling the best, and so she went to the hospital. You would never know it because when you talk to her, she's like, "Oh, everything's great. Everything's good. Yep." Mm-hmm. And that's part of our like privacy as pastors. You know, we don't want to share everything because we know we all have stuff. Amen. We all got stuff. So she's in there. She has ocular shingles. Hey, hooray for ocular shingles! So they give her the medication. She's sitting. She's waiting for the doc to kind of look through and go. And she's like, "What are we gonna do?" I'm like, "Honey, I got this. I got you. Just stay in the hospital. You don't have to preach the message from the hospital bed, because she would if we brought a crew in there. She would do that. I love you, honey, but you know, we got this today. And I just believe that there's healing in the house today. I believe there's a spirit of expectation for whatever it is that you are bringing into this place today. And you know, we put on the Christian face. Hey, how you doing? God bless you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And everything's okay. Give me a high five, you know, whatever you do to say hello to someone. But I recognize behind every one of our hearts and faces, there's something going on. And Jesus wants to meet those needs today. So we're going to have some time of prayer following the message today and a time of communion as well. So, you know, if you haven't grabbed your communion cups, we'll do that before. I'll give you an opportunity to do that today. But today, I want to look at a portion of Scripture from Matthew 25. And if you have your Bibles, I want you to go to Matthew 25. If you have like a phone with a digital version, it's really easy. You just type in Matthew 25. If you're like old school and you bring the paper and, you know, 10-pound Bible with you, that's okay. We love you. And you'll know exactly where it is because it's your sword. And you just use that sword in every situation, and I honor you for that. And so I'm going digital today. We're going on the screen as well. So let's take a look at what I believe is one of the most powerful passages in the Bible. Are you ready for this? Matthew 25, verses 35 to 40 says this: "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and gave you something to drink? When did we see you were a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." God, open our hearts to what you want to say to us today. Sometimes we hear the word and it goes in one ear and out the next because we don't want to really respond, or we just want to do what seems right in the moment. So I pray, Holy Spirit, you would break through to every heart and every mind in this place and those that are watching online. I pray that your Spirit would penetrate our hearts today. Speak to us. We're open to you. We're listening. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, if you've spent any time in church, maybe this is your very first Sunday, maybe you've been in church all your life, welcome. We're glad you're here today. You know, you may be familiar with these words of Jesus here. Jesus paints a vivid picture, a very colorful picture of what the kingdom of God looks like. Kingdom of God looks like compassion. Looks like justice. It looks like serving those in need. In this passage, Jesus speaks about feeding the hungry, giving water to the thirsty, welcoming the stranger, clothing the naked, and visiting those who are sick and in prison. And then he gives this startling statement. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. That's what he says. Yet if we're honest with ourselves, many of us hear these words and we like nod along. Oh, yes, yes, hallelujah. Maybe you even feel inspired in the moment that the pastor is preaching so well. Look how handsome he is. Normally, Pastor Jess is up there on a Sunday, but we're so glad Pastor Dave is just going to be amazing. I'm just kidding, okay? Just for those of you watching online, it's all a joke, and those in person here, it's a real joke, okay? We hear these words, and maybe we nod along, and maybe we feel inspired in the moment. Wow. But then we go back to our lives relatively unchanged. Why is that? Why do we read Matthew 25 and not really take it seriously? I think the answer lies both in the depth of the passage and the condition of our own hearts. And I want to look at that today. I want to explore why that might be the case. And so there's some things I want to look at today. And if you're taking notes, the first one's on the screen today. It's easier to keep God in our hearts than in our actions. One reason we don't take Matthew 25 as seriously as we should is that it's easier to keep faith in the realm of ideas rather than in action. Thinking about our theology or studying scripture and attending church services. Listen, I'm so glad you're here today. You could be anywhere. You could be making your turkey. You could be hanging out with people. You could be sleeping in, but you made some effort to be here today. And all these things are important. All these things are valued. But they don't demand much of us in terms of sacrifice. Now, there's been some sacrifice for you today. For some of you today who have children, I understand. They don't want to get up on Sunday. They'll get up on Saturday, and they'll get up throughout the week, but Sunday is a whole other ballgame. I get it. But there's some sacrifice. But really, they don't demand as much of us in terms of sacrifice. It's a lot harder to go out and live like Jesus calls us to live. If we're being real, serving others, especially the vulnerable, it comes with a cost. It costs us time, costs us energy, and sometimes even emotional and physical discomfort. Pastor Chris talked to us even this morning how it does cost us some financial resources to reach those who are vulnerable in our city. And you know, there's been talk in our community and the real challenge is to love those who are marginalized and love those who have it all. Love those in our community and recognize that we are in this together. But there is a cost. Sometimes a financial cost, sometimes an emotional cost, sometimes it's an energy cost, whatever it is. There's sometimes some physical discomfort that comes with that. Matthew 25 confronts us with the reality that faith isn't just about a belief. It's about action. The question isn't simply, do you believe in Jesus? It's also, how are you showing Jesus to others through your life? What's the example of Jesus? How are you revealing his beauty and his nature in and through your life to others? We often shy away from Matthew 25 because it asks us to do hard things. To get involved in the messy realities of the world. To step out of our comfort zones. And we love our comfort, don't we? I mean, we've got comfort seats in our car, warm the bottom. Some of you have the warm tiles underneath, and even in the driveway, no snow will touch this driveway. There must be extreme comfort. I'm not knocking it. I love comfort. I mean, I just love it. You know, I love to get all cozy. Okay, that's too much information. Second thing I think we need to take note of today is that we're afraid of feeling overwhelmed sometimes. I think another reason we don't take Matthew 25 seriously is that the needs of the world can often feel overwhelming. Hunger, homelessness, injustice, suffering, it's everywhere. And it's easy to feel small and powerless in the face of it. You know, in my private practice, I meet with people who are feeling overwhelmed in life circumstances where they're talking about, this is just too much. I've got this coming at me. I've got this coming at me. Life is difficult. It's overwhelming. It's causing me to go into anxiety. It's causing me to feel some depressive states, and I don't know what to do. And it's overwhelming. So we walk through with them how to kind of navigate the steps and how to navigate feeling a sense of peace in the midst of the storm. The Bible gives us lots of information, lots of help and support around that. But you know, everywhere we often feel overwhelmed, and it's really easy in these overwhelming situations when you're feeling the pressure physically, your heart is beating faster. You're feeling stress in your body, your palms are getting sweaty. It's just too much for you to handle. Jesus talks about serving the least of these. And we wonder, how could my small efforts really make a difference? It's natural to feel this way. We see the enormity of the world's pain, and it can paralyze us. It's just overwhelming. It's too much. Too many things happening in this world. There's too much to deal with. There's people dealing with all kinds of issues in this world. I've got my own stuff. I don't think I can handle or take on another thing. It's paralyzing to me. But here's the good news. Jesus never asked any of us to solve the world's problems.
Oh, really?
I don't have to solve the world's problems. Yeah, Jesus simply calls us to serve the people that are around us, the people in front of us. We're not responsible for fixing everything. Guys in the room, whew. I know all the men are like, yeah, my wife, she wants, you know, this and that. And that. I got to be. I got to fix everybody's issues. If you're a fixer-upper kind of a person, listen, Jesus isn't asking you to fix the whole world. It was a great song when I was a little boy. In Sunday school, he's got the whole world. You know the song. I'm not going to go there. Jesus doesn't command us to save the whole world. He commends those who did small, specific things, giving a cup of water, offering a meal, visiting someone in their pain. The question we need to ask isn't how can I solve the world's problems, but how can I serve the person or how can I serve the people that are around me? We often miss Jesus in the ordinary. Another reason we struggle with Matthew 25 is that we expect to find Jesus in the grand and in the extraordinary. I don't know what it is about human nature, but because we know Jesus has got the answer to all of our problems, right? Like he's got everything figured out. He is the answer. We need to let the whole world know, and it's a big solution to your big problems. And so God is bigger than your problems. We preach it. Yeah, like it sounds amazing. We're always looking for the grand. We're looking for lights and smoke and confetti. We're looking for the big, the extraordinary. But Jesus often shows up in the ordinary. Jesus tells us that he is found in the hungry. He's found in the thirsty, the stranger, the sick, and the imprisoned. He's not talking about appearing in visions or great supernatural acts. He's talking about everyday people in everyday circumstances. Now, I know we want to encounter God. I want to encounter God. We believe that God is a supernatural God, that he shows up in the ordinary. It's one of our values that we talk about as a church. We want to encounter God in our church. You know, just this past Wednesday night, we have a revive night, and we do that about once a month where we come together and we worship and we sing and we praise the Lord and we lay down our burdens and we have others pray for us and seek the face of God together. And it's a great opportunity for one another to pray and to just not feel alone, to feel isolated. The enemy wants to keep you isolated. And so we have these nights where we encounter God, where we experience his power, his presence. It's amazing. It's an opportunity for God to show up in a way maybe that you just need him to. And yes, those are moments that we need. We want to encounter God in our church, in our quiet times, or during moments of personal inspiration. And yes, those are places that God can meet us. But Jesus says, I need you to hear this today, that we encounter him most powerfully when we serve others. When we serve others, we can encounter presence of God. When we look into the eyes of someone who is suffering, we are looking into the eyes of Christ himself. Mother Teresa once said, "If you can't feed 100 people, then feed just one." She also said, I see Jesus in every human being. I say to myself, this is hungry Jesus. I must feed him. This is sick Jesus. This one has leprosy or gangrene. I must wash him and tend to him. Do we have the eyes to see Jesus in the ordinary? In the people around us who are hurting, even if they don't look like the polished versions of holiness we're accustomed to. We underestimate the importance of small acts of compassion. Sometimes we hesitate to take Matthew 25 seriously because we underestimate the significance of small acts of love. We think, well, what's the difference that this makes if I just give one meal to someone or help just one person? It's just really a drop in the ocean. But what if your perspective shifts? What if that one drop in the ocean changes someone's entire day? What if it changes their entire life? And what if through these, maybe these small acts, we actually encounter Christ? Matthew 25, Jesus didn't say, I was hungry and you ended world hunger. He said, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. The small things matter. Every act of kindness, every moment of service is a reflection of God's love. When we serve others in these small ways, we're doing the very work of Christ. Sometimes we lose our perspective. We forget that serving others is part of our own healing. We often forget that living out Matthew 25 isn't just about helping others. It's about our own transformation as well. When we serve, when we get involved in the lives of those who are struggling, what happens? Well, we're changed. Our hearts are softened. We become more compassionate. We become more like Christ. You know, just this last week, I recall an example where, you know, we had some people outside our facility experiencing homelessness. And we've taken some heat in our community about serving those who are experiencing homelessness. And we know it's the right thing to do. We know it's the biblical thing to do. And people can try to change our mind and they have their opinions. And so that's their opinions. But, you know, in this last month, we've taken a bit of a break. We said, okay, let's give it all of our people a break, and we're going to start up again in November, hopefully November 1st. We're going to continue serving those who need the love of Jesus in a very practical way. But there were some people on our property the other day, and I just went over to them and said, hey, you know, we love you, but can you get off our property right now? I didn't say it like that. But that's in essence what I was saying. And I was looking these people in the eyes and just saying, we love you, we care about you, we want to serve you, we want to help you. Listen, you know, I don't need to get into it. We don't have to ask questions. Really, do you really need help or you don't need help? What's going on in your life? Get into the details. Let's do an assessment. Let's figure out, you know, if this person's worthy of helping or not worthy of helping. Listen, I saw the eyes of Jesus and those that I was shooing away. And I said to them, listen, you understand what we're dealing with. We're dealing with some challenges in our community right now, and people are just kind of up in arms. And so we want to respect you guys and love you, but we're also trying to bridge the gap of those who just don't understand and not push them away either. Like, I don't know if they understood what I was saying. They're like, hey, no problem. We'll leave right now. Like, really? You're more understanding of people who are trying to shoo you away? And you have nowhere else to go? Oh, man, I was wrecked. I'm like, thank you. I'm sorry. We're going to try to figure this out together. We're going to walk with you, and we're going to do our best. Nah, don't worry about it. We get it. We're used to it. Can we be used to getting thrown on, discarded, not cared about? So I think we need to just, in these moments, recognize there is a God who cares, God who loves, who wants to use the opportunities that are right in front of us to bring compassion, to bring his love, to bring his kindness, and not say, well, you're okay, you're not okay. Listen, we're all created in his image. We're all okay. And so we got to find a way that serves everyone. Wow, this is such an easy job being a pastor. I love it. And it's an easy job being a human, isn't it? No, it's hard. Hard work. I didn't think, you know, maybe you came to church today. I just want looking for a good Thanksgiving message, something that's encouraging. It'll bring me right up, and then we can go have some turkey. It'll be, praise the Lord, it'll be amazing. This is not easy. Sorry if you came for some other kind of a message. But it's the gospel. And I think sometimes the gospel challenges us, and it moves us. So my heart, my prayer is that you'd hear the voice of the Lord today. Serving others helps us see that we're also very broken and we need his grace. If it weren't for the grace of God, where would we be? We may be in the same situation if we're not careful. So God, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your kindness upon us. Help us to see with humility those around us. Help us to see Jesus in every encounter we have. We're all part of God's big family. And when we love others, we're not just giving. I want you to know there's a receiving part here too. We're receiving from God. We receive a deeper understanding of God's heart. So why don't we take Matthew 25 seriously? I believe it's because it asks more of us than we often feel ready to give. It asks for real, tangible action, not just belief. It asks us to be okay with small, ordinary acts of kindness. It asks us to open our eyes to see Jesus in people that we might overlook. But here's the challenge for you today. Take one step. Just take one step. You don't have to change the world. Whew, relief. You don't have to solve all the problems. Okay. But take one step toward living out Matthew 25. Okay. Now let's get down to it. The Matthew 25 challenge. I've got a bit of a challenge for you. Something that we're going to work on as a group, a community, this week. Now I want to ask you a question. If you're ready to take on the Matthew 25 challenge, are you ready to take on the Matthew 25 challenge? Okay, we're going to start over here. Are you guys ready to take on the Matthew 25 challenge? Okay. You guys ready to take on the Matthew 25 challenge? Are you guys ready to take on the Matthew 25 challenge? There's a little more power over here than here. We're going to work on them. You guys ready to take on the Matthew 25 challenge?
Yes.
Matthew 25 challenge. You guys ready? Is this section ready for the Matthew 25 challenge? And the upper balcony, are you ready for the Matthew 25 challenge? Okay, we got to work on this for our celebratory kind of things that we do here at church. I want you to hear this. And okay, let's take a look at the screen behind me. Everybody grab your phones, pull out your smartphone. Your phone knows how to do this better than you do even. So take out your phone and point it at that World Vision QR code, scan that. And you're going to receive a text in your inbox. And you're going to receive every day a text regarding what you're to do for that day. I'm going to walk you through this. For those who are not tech savvy, we've got some paper hard copies of what we're going to do each and every day. And for those who said, I'm ready to take on the Matthew 25 challenge, which was, I think, everybody. I don't know if anybody said no. We're really looking for some engagement here as God is challenging us as a church. Like, why don't we do Matthew 25? What's going on? What am I missing? Well, it's a week-long experience through World Vision. They've put this together. And it invites participants to step into the experiences of the vulnerable and the marginalized to understand the teaching that we just went through in Matthew 25. In this chapter, Jesus describes the least of these, the hungry, the thirsty, right? The strangers, those without clothes, the sick, and the imprisoned as his brothers and sisters. He explains that when we care for them, what happens? We are caring for him. Amen? And so the challenge is going to allow you a real life, real time, real experience to live out some of the teachings that we've just kind of walked through here today in a powerful, practical way. A lot of times we come to church on Sunday, okay, get my feel, I got to go eat some turkey in about an hour, I'm going to feel good, I'm going to sing the songs, I'm going to talk to some people, who knows, maybe I'll meet somebody, hey, and then, you know, we're going to work through and just have a great time, but then we leave the service and nothing really, really changes. So here's a practical way I want us to walk through this. And let me break this down for you. Structure of the challenge is that every day you're going to get a focus on a different aspect of Jesus' teaching. And it's going to be paired with an action step. An action step that is meant to create empathy and reflection. So every day you'll get a text message, a scripture, a daily devotional, a challenge for the day. Let me go through these together with you. Day one is this. I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. Well, what's the challenge? The challenge is maybe, you know, try skipping a meal. Or eat only rice and beans for one meal to experience what it is to have hunger. Day two, it's the I was thirsty and you gave something to drink. The challenge is maybe to drink only water throughout the day and learn about clean water scarcity worldwide. Drink only water? Are you kidding me? If I don't drink coffee first thing in the morning, everyone around me suffers. Yeah, well, welcome to somebody who's living on the streets that didn't get their coffee that morning, a little grumpy. Makes sense now. They didn't get the coffee. Day three. I was a stranger and you invited me in. Well, what's the challenge there? A challenge is spend the night without the comfort of your own bed. Sleep on the floor, on the couch. Maybe reflecting on the plight of refugees and displaced people. Some of you are like, yeah, well, I've been on the couch for weeks. Things are not working out well. Oh boy. I am really relating to this situation. No. I'm like, maybe you have back issues and you're like, I don't know if I can do this. Well, welcome to those who don't get the chance. They don't have the choice. Today their life was fantastic. And tomorrow everything changed. Whether it was a political system or something happened. Kicked out of the house, ran away from home. There's war. They had to leave. Some of you have experienced that. You know what that's like. But others, we've had it so good. Generations of blessing and favor. We need to break through some of those bondages of being safe and comfortable. Day four, I needed clothes, and you clothed me. Now, this is going to be tough for some of you. Wear the same outfit 2 days in a row. Are you kidding me? If I wear the same outfit 2 days in a row, Pastor, you don't understand, I sweat a lot. And if I wear this thing 2 days in a row, the people around me will be, they'll be crying. They'll be begging for mercy. Day five, I was sick, and you looked after me. Maybe the challenge here is to practice the art of care. You know, pull out a paper and a pen. Start writing again. Maybe write a note of encouragement to someone, or spending some intentional time with someone who needs support. You know, and reflecting on Jesus' call to care for the sick. Day 6 is, I was in prison and you came to visit me. Maybe the challenge here is to reflect on isolation and empathy for those who are in captivity. And pray for those who are imprisoned or isolated. There are people all over the world that are imprisoned for their faith. And we are blessed in this nation, in this country, to have freedom that affords us to do whatever we feel like we should. And so this is a call to recognize these words of Jesus and live it out. And then finally, day 7 is to reflect and pray. Maybe reflect on the week. Pray for the world's most vulnerable people. And maybe just consider, what are the next steps, Lord, that you have for me in engaging and helping others? Taking some time to be aware of where you are, where God's calling you to go. So the challenge really helps you to develop a greater understanding of the call of Jesus upon your life, to love and to serve the least among us. Our hope is that as you engage and you experience empathy in action by connecting these daily experiences to the struggles others face globally, we just believe God's going to touch your heart. World Vision's put together a great package, and it provides opportunities for us to take action. So I don't want you just to merely read the word Matthew 25 as an ideal. But let's take what the scripture says and let's live it out now. An act of love, one act of love at a time. Little by little, as we do, we'll find that encountering Jesus himself in the faces of those that we are serving is going to make a great big impact. Amen? Let's bow our heads. I'm going to just change the pace a little bit here today. And we're going to do communion in just a moment. Actually, lift up your heads. We'll pray in a bit. But if you didn't receive yet your juice in your cup, and they're at the door entrances and exits, all the doors. If you need to go and grab one right now, or two, or a few people in your row, hey, did you get one? Ask them. This is the moment. And we're going to do this together in just a moment. I want us now to connect what we've just walked through, the scripture, in communion. Communion is more than just a remembrance of Christ's sacrifice for us. It's also a call to live out his love in the world. And so when we take communion, we're reminded not only of the death of Jesus and his resurrection, but of his heart for the marginalized and our role in his mission. I want us to walk through a few things here. I want us to first remember Jesus' sacrifice for us. 1 Corinthians 11, 24 and 25 says, this is my body. Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's sitting with them at the Passover. It's the Last Supper. He's sitting with his disciples. He says, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And this is the cup. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. You know, communion really invites us to remember the depth of his love. It's demonstrated through what he did on the cross, the death on the cross. His body was broken. His blood was shed for us so that, why? So we could be reconciled with him. We could come back into relationship with him. And this act of his sacrificial love reminds us that Jesus came to what? To serve. and to give his life for all, especially those who were most vulnerable and marginalized. Well, what was the cost for it? What was the cost for this redemption? Jesus didn't stay detached from human suffering. He didn't just see it and said, I got to do something else here. No, he saw human suffering. He became one of us. He walked right into flesh to be part of the brokenness, to be part of a broken world. For what reason? To redeem it, to set it free. So when we take communion, we remember that Jesus' sacrifice compels us to love others the same selfless love that he loved us with. Want us to see Jesus in the least of us. Matthew 25:40, we talked about, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters, you did for me. Jesus, Christ's presence in the marginalized. He identifies himself with those who are poor, with those who are feeling oppressed and in need. And when we serve others, especially those who are struggling, we are serving Jesus as himself. Communion with Christ is more than personal. It extends to how we treat others, especially those who are overlooked or neglected. The call is to embody the love of Christ. Taking communion reminds us of our oneness with Christ. Because we're one with him, we are also united with those he loves. Do you see how this works? You don't get to pick and choose who you love, who you like, who you don't like. Instagram wants to tell you, like this person, share this. We're here to love. Communion with Jesus should flow into acts of service and compassion, reflecting his love for the world. And so, as we take in just a moment, we take the bread and drink the cup, we're reminded of our calling to be his hands and feet. I want you to take the wafer, just hold that there for. Communion is a call to serve. John 13:34 says, a new command I give you. Love one another as I've loved you. So you must love one another. When Jesus instituted the Last Supper, he washed his disciples' feet as a symbol of humble service. When was the last time you or I had done that? Communion calls us to follow in his footsteps, serving others as he says. You know, taking communion together should inspire us not to go out and serve others with the same sacrificial love. It is to go and serve those with the same sacrificial love that we've received from Christ. That's what we're to do. So, we've got this bread. It's a symbol of his body that was broken. I want you to break it. Lord, we thank you for what this wafer represents, your broken body for us, to take on the pain of the world, to take my pain on, to break it, to be in identity with you, to be identified as a follower of Christ. So, Lord, we thank you for what you've done, and we receive it right now. Let's receive together. Now we have the cup. Should I hold the cup up? Lord, we thank you for your blood that was shed on Calvary. Your blood that was poured out for my sin. It was poured out to wash away my sin, to make me clean. There'd be no record of it, to be washed pure in you. And for some of us, that's hard to believe. So I pray by your Spirit right now that you would remind people that's what the power of the blood is all about, to set us free, to make us whole, to make us clean in you. We receive your blood that was shed for us. We partake together, remembering what you've done. Let's partake. Thank you, Jesus. Would you stand with me all across this room? So God, we just thank you for what this represents today. Life we have in you, the hope we have in you, the healing we have in you, the freedom we have in you. God, give us the eyes to see those who are the reflection of your glory. And it may not be in the reflection that we thought would happen. Serving those who are down and out. Serving those who are not what we would expect to be the reflection of Jesus. God, help us to serve and see with your eyes so that we may be transformed into your likeness. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, I want this Jesus that you're talking about. I want to know him. I want to experience him. I want to walk with him. I need him to be a part of my life. I've never said yes to Jesus. I've never invited him in. And this is my moment right now. You're here. And all I'm going to do in just a moment is just ask you to put your hand up and then put it back down. I just want to pray with you today and know who we're praying for and celebrating with today. And maybe you're here just saying, no, I've never said yes to Jesus. Or maybe you said yes to him some years ago and you've run away. You haven't been following him and you want to recommit and say, Jesus, I need you in this moment. This is my day for transformation. If that's you, would you just lift your hand up all across this room? Just put your hand up real quick. Put it back down. Thank you for your honesty today. Thank you so much. Thank you. Lord, we thank you for every person in this room. Speak to them. Give them your peace today. All across this room, can we say this prayer? If you lifted up your hand, I want you to believe this in your heart. God changes you. But if you didn't put up your hand, but you want to pray this prayer, pray this prayer. God comes. It's not about the hands going up and down. It's about your heart posture to the Lord. So God, thank you. All across this room, repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son to die on the cross for me. I receive what you've done. I apply it to my life. Help me to turn away from my sin, repent of my sin, and turn to you, Lord Jesus. I receive you now, in Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's celebrate with those who said yes to Jesus, who are recommitting their lives to Jesus. Pastor Harmon's gonna give you some instructions in just a moment, but I want us to take this moment, then the prayer team's gonna come. Let's just take this moment. God, what do you have for me? This week, 7 days of being committed in this challenge. God, it's not just a Sunday experience. It's a week experience. I'm asking you to do something in me and help me to get myself out of my own way sometimes. So take some time. Hear the voice of the Lord. Let's respond to what he wants to do in and through us today. Let's just worship together, and then Pastor Harmon will close and give us some final instructions.
Thank you for joining us today on Journey Church Podcast. For more information about our ministry, visit myjourney.church.